I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
FM News Talk 97.1. On-demand audio.
Next guest here, Andrew Napolitano. Judge Napolitano, great to talk to you again.
Annie, back to be with you, my friend.
Senior judicial analyst for Fox News. Always also interested in your insight on a lot of the issues that are facing us right now. I'm really curious about this academic admissions scandal and seeing the legal trouble that is swarming. I think it seems bigger than maybe simple-minded people like myself know. Who is all facing, who's all lawyering up right now in the wake of this Operation Varsity Blues?
Well, I've never known you to be simple-minded. Nevertheless, shortly after he pleaded guilty to being the center of this conspiracy. And picture this conspiracy as a bicycle tire.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one or two people right at the hub, and then the spokes are going out from there. At the end of the spokes, the folks don't know each other, but they're all connected through the person in the middle. He told government lawyers, after he pleaded guilty to helping 32 students get in, that he actually helped 750.
Wow.
And I would think that if you're one of the parents who's been indicted, and there's really no defense to this, I mean, you didn't think you were going to get caught, you thought you were doing the right thing, you love your child, you'd make any sacrifice for them. These are human reactions, but they're not legal defenses. You would probably dispatch your lawyer to go to the feds who just indicted you and said, go easy on me, and I'll give you 10 friends who I know did this as well. They were part of another conspiracy. So I think that's where we're going. I think you're going to see prosecutors soon announce large numbers of people caught up in other conspiracies involving other colleges. And then you'll see sort of the moral debate. I mean, If you give $2 million to put your name on a building and your child is unqualified, but they admit that child because you gave the $2 million, isn't that also a form of bribery? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
One is legal and one's criminal.
Yeah.
Putting your name on the building for $2 million, and I'm just making up the number. Obviously, the number is different depending upon the size of the building and what school it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That procedure is as old as universities themselves. But the idea of using a test taker, of actually changing scores on tests, of actually photoshopping and doctoring photographs to make unathletic students with no high school athletic record seem like, in this case, tennis and rowing superstars, that we've really never heard of before. So the short answer to the long answer to your question is what I've just given you. The short answer is this is the tip of the iceberg, Annie.
Yeah, we're speaking with senior judicial analyst for Fox News, Judge Napolitano. Is there anything that you've heard so far in the wake of this information being out for about almost a week now? Is there anything you've heard that could suggest that any of these parents didn't know what they were doing was illegal?
Yes. And that has not come out yet.
Okay.
But I do believe that some who can't afford to plead guilty, I don't mean financially can't afford, but the consequence, the loss of a professional license, the loss of professional work attendant upon a guilty plea would be catastrophic to them,
mm-hmm.
will offer the defense that they believed they were making bona fide, legitimate donations. And for that reason, they actually, this, of course, has complicated their woes. Took IRS deductions on the donation. I mean, nobody in their right mind takes an IRS deduction on a bribe unless you really and truly don't think it is a bribe, and though naive, you really and truly think it's going to the school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how these defenses are going to play out, but we are hearing that, as I said, some who can't plead guilty, chair of a corporation, a publicly held corporation, the SEC would bar the person from being a chair if they pleaded guilty, are willing to take their shots with a jury with a defense like that.
Judge,
that'd be very a very interesting defense to offer, and that would basically be, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah,
that type of a defense.
Sure.
Yeah.
What about the schools involved? Are they in trouble?
You know, it's very interesting, and this is unusual for the feds because the feds like to indict everybody having anything to do with any kind of a conspiracy, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They did not indict the schools as institutions. They did indict some coaches and. Administrators who actually were bribed, had cash put in their pockets, and they did not indict the students. Now, this is a very serious issue with the students. This has been going on for a while. Some of these students have graduated
yeah.
and then have graduated from grad and professional schools. So you have doctors and lawyers out there whose academic careers were commenced because of this bribery. They were stellar students. Should they be punished? The one school that has spoken on this is it's either Wake Forest or USC, University
mm-hmm.
of Southern California.
Yeah, I think it was USC.
Basically said, we're going to evaluate the students on a case-by-case basis. If a student got here under some fraudulent means but has done well, we're not throwing that student out, nor are we going to say who it is. Although, it would be easy to figure out who it is because the parents have been indicted and those names have been made public.
Yeah, it is such a messy situation. And like you suggested, likely just the tip of the iceberg that this would grow and grow over the course of time. So we're going to continue to watch that. I wanted to ask you while I have you here about the Mueller report. We know we hear murmurs, and we have for quite some time, that it is suspected to come out soon, which is a very subjective amount of time, I suppose. Can you lay out what, because I don't know that everybody understands exactly what the Mueller report means as far as the process. The Mueller report isn't going to put President Trump in jail. It's not going to completely vindicate him of everything. It's a step in the process that could lead to impeachment, but could lead to nothing. Once that Mueller report is revealed in whatever amount it is revealed to the American public, what's the legal process that follows?
The first process is for the report to go to the Attorney General of the United States. The reason that's necessary is because there probably will be materials in there that the law does not permit to be revealed, no matter what Congress or the American public wants. As an example, testimony before a grand jury about a person who is not indicted is forever kept secret. The theory being, if the person was not indicted, then they shouldn't be tarnished just because prosecutors brought that testimony in. So prosecutors cannot reveal that, and the Attorney General knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Names and methods of undercover agents, the use of classified materials, these can't be top secret materials. These can't be revealed, whether the Attorney General or the public wants them revealed or not. So the first step is a sophisticated legal analysis of what can't be revealed. The rest, I don't know what's going to be in there. When Ken Starr, who, by the way, is on my show Liberty File tomorrow on Fox Nation.
Okay.
When Ken Starr went through this, the procedure was to send it directly to the House of Representatives. It did not have to go to the Attorney General. And at the time he sent it to the House of Representatives, he dispatched his PR person to say, we have found impeachable offenses, and we're sending it to the House of Representatives recommending impeachment. It could be something of that magnitude. It could be, we found indictable offenses, and we're recommending indictment, but we don't want to do it because he's the sitting president. Or it could be, we found some bank fraud, which had nothing to do with his being a president, or we found nothing. We've searched and scoured everything. I don't believe that that's how this will end up, but it could be anything from one extreme. Here are impeachable and indictable offenses to the other extreme. Here's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, it's going to be several reports. The documents will be very complex and extremely voluminous, far too much for any one person to go through, and you'll get you get a variety of opinions as to how significant they are.
So then once the House of Representatives is able to view this information, they will make a decision on whether to move forward with an impeachment trial. How much does how much do politics play into even if what we look at here in this report is like, wow, this is really bad. The decision for the political House of Representatives to move forward with those trials, is politics a big part of that?
Yes. Yes, and some Democrats who really dislike the president and believe that he's committed crimes or impeachable offenses, like Mrs. Pelosi and Congressman Nadler, who's chair of the House Judiciary Committee, and Congressman Adam Schiff, who's chair of the House Intelligence Committee, have said impeachment is a non-starter unless it is bipartisan and there's a great groundswell of support for it in the country, as there was at the time for Nixon, as there was not, Republicans misjudged this, at the time for Bill Clinton. But these people, Nadler, Schiff, Pelosi, recognize the pushback that will come to them if there is not widespread public support. So one theory is, let the voters decide. If there's dirty laundry about the president that the special counsel uncovered, put it out there and let the voters in 2020 decide. Others in the House will say, we have constituencies who don't want this guy in office anymore because they believe this dirty laundry is disqualifying as president. And if it had been known in 2016, he would never have been elected. We want to start the impeachment proceedings now, whether there's support for it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to go the latter way, because the Republicans suffered exquisitely after they misfired at Clinton. And I think the Democrats have learned from that lesson.
Last question for you, Judge. Is there a statute of limitations at all on this information? Could they wait till after 2020 and then engage in these proceedings?
Well, it's funny. The New Jersey state constitution permits impeachment after you leave office. It's crazy, but it does. The federal constitution does not. But if the issue is the statute of limitations on crime, it's a very, very serious issue. There are three opinions on whether or not a sitting president can be indicted. Two say no. One says yes. They're all modern, up-to-date opinions that came out during the Ken Starr investigation of Bill Clinton. But all three say, if the statute of limitations is about to expire, you need to do something, like get the president to agree to waive the statute of limitations, or if he won't, indict him in secret, don't reveal the existence of the indictment until he leaves office. Why might you do that? Because most of these crimes have a five-year statute of limitations. Meaning, if they were committed at the beginning of the first term, they could not be prosecuted at the completion of the second term.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing's for sure, your opinion is going to continue to be highly sought after about all of these issues in the coming weeks and months. And we always appreciate you giving us some time here on the Annie Fry Show to pick your brain on these issues.
Always a pleasure, Annie. Until the next time. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.